Ladies and gentlemen, I now call the Henderson City Council meeting to order. I'll ask our clerk, call roll, please, ma'am.
Mr. Kearney? Mr. Kearney?
Here.
Ms. Claffey? Mr. Inska?
Here.
Mr. Rainey?
Here.
Ms. Keith Jenkins?
Here.
Mr. Dakey?
Here.
Ms. Simmons?
Here.
And Mr. Day?
Yes.
If we'll all stand, I'll ask Ms. Keith Jenkins to lead us in our invocation, after which time she'll lead us in the pledge to the American flag.
We all bow our heads. Most gracious and kind God, we thank you for allowing us to be here, our first meeting of the year, and you've kept us for this time, and for that we're grateful. We thank you for every person that's under the sound of our voice. And Lord, we ask now that you would be with us as we embark upon this year to make decisions for our city and for our county. We ask that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct us, that you would put our hearts with one accord, and that the decisions we make would be for the betterment of our city. Bless each and every one of you, that all that we do and say will be pleasing to you. And I pray this prayer in your most holy name. We all said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we turn our attention to the flag,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Holy ball.
Let me say a special welcome to everyone, and a Happy New Year to everyone. 2014 is here. I'm telling you, Happy New Year to all of our council members. Good to see everybody. Ms. Coffey will be with us tonight. And also, Mr. Frank Fraser is filling in for our city manager, who is out. But it's good to see you. We always welcome our citizens to come to our council meeting to see exactly what taking place within our city. So good to see everybody. Madam Clerk, I think we're ready.
The first item is adjustments to and or approval of the agenda. And with Council's approval, we would like to add an additional recognition for retiree Ray Taylor.
Okay. Council, any changes? So what is the pleasure of the Council here?
Move that the agenda be received.
Motion made by Ms. Feast Jenkins.
Second.
Second by Mr. Rainey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. So carried. Madam Clerk.
The next item is approval of the December 9, 2013 regular meeting minutes.
Any questions or concerns about the minutes? Council, what's your pleasure?
Introduce the minutes.
Introduce my Mr. Day. Second by Mr. Day. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say aye. So carried. Madam Clerk.
The next item is presentations and recognitions, the first being recognition of retiree Patricia Jackson.
Okay. Well. You know, it's always hard to see good employees leave the city. And this has been one, I'll tell you. She has been so good for so many years. And we appreciate that so much. And we're going to miss you a lot. I'll tell you, I will miss you a lot. But we have City of Henderson Resolution of Appreciation for Patricia M. Jackson. Whereas after 13 years of service to the City of Henderson, Patricia M. Jackson retired on January 1st, 2014, where she began with the City of Henderson in 2000 as an accounting technician one, and whereas she served the City of Henderson for more than a decade, courteously and professionally, and whereas in 2011, Patricia Jackson's job title was changed to Customer Service Rep City, and whereas Patricia Jackson also served when needed as a backup receptionist, where she warmly greeted the public as they arrived at City Hall, and whereas the City of Henderson wishes to recognize Patricia M. Jackson for her many contributions during her years with the City of Henderson. Now, therefore, I, the Mayor, on behalf of the Henderson City Council, our City Manager, make public and officially our sincere appreciation and thanks to Patricia M. Jackson for her dedication and service during her years with the City of Henderson, and wish her well in her retirement years. And we do wish you many, many years of retirement. And thank you so much for your years here at City Hall.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate that so much.
Thank you so much.
we have a beautiful clock that we'd like to present to you. And it's engraved with best wishes as you retire. Patricia Jackson, thank you for 13 years of service to the City of Henderson. Retirement day, January 1st, 2014, is a special day you will never forget.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank y'all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, do we have another one?
Yes, sir.
She's retired.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Mr. Taylor, retiree Ray Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, are you here? Yes. Here he is. This is another gentleman that spent many, many years with the City of Henderson and has done so well and has been so positive in all he does for the City of Henderson, and we appreciate him so much. And the City of Henderson's resolution of appreciation to Ray Arthur Taylor, whereas after 6 years of service to the City of Henderson, Ray Arthur Taylor retired on January 1st, 2014. Everybody's retired on the 1st of January.
Good
this year. Whereas he began with the City of Henderson in 2007 as Plant Operator 1, whereas in 2010 he was promoted to Plant Operator 2, and whereas in 2011 he was promoted to Plant Operator 3, and whereas in 2011 Ray Taylor earned the Grade 3 Biological Water Pollution Control System Operator certifications, and whereas the City of Henderson wishes to recognize Ray Arthur Taylor for his many contributions during his years with the City of Henderson. Now, therefore, I, the Mayor of the City of Henderson, the City Council members, and the City Manager make public and officially our sincere appreciation and thanks to Ray Arthur Taylor for his dedication and service during his years with the City of Henderson, and wishes him well in his retirement year. And I'm sure your wife has many little things you would be wanting to do. And don't miss a single one of them. Do them all.
I think I need to come back to work.
We also have a clock here we'd like to present to you. It's engraved. It's with best wishes. That's all right. I can read through it. Best wishes for your retiree. Ray Taylor, thanks you for 6 years of service to the City of Henderson. Retirement day, January 1st, 2014.
You are right.
And we wish you many, many years of retirement.
Thank you. Thank
the very best of health and the best of everything. All right. And we say thank you for that.
And lastly,
thank you. Keep me warm. Thank you very much. Okay, number.
Next, we have the recognition of newly appointed Police Chief Marcus Barrow.
Mr. Frazier, you have some comments here.
Yes, sir. Some are ending their journey with the city, and some are beginning. So, Ray, as far as the new chapter in their position here with the city, Ray had prepared something he'd like for me to read tonight, and so I'm going to do that at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to formally present to you this evening the city's new police chief, Marcus W. Barrow. As noted to you prior to Christmas, Chief Barrow is a long-term employee with progressive advancement in the department. He most recently served as the city's interim police chief subsequent to Chief Sidwell's retirement. Chief Barrow has distinguished himself and brought honor to the department during his tenure. To his credit, he took the opportunity to be proactive and fully acting interim chief rather than being a gatekeeper chief. I am most grateful for this because his willingness to step to the plate has served the community and department well. Chief Barrow also distinguished himself in a very competitive police chief recruitment, selection, assessment, and appointment process. In short, he rose to the top and proved he was the best candidate and best choice for chief of police. I am very proud and most delighted to have Marcus serve as Henderson's new police chief and wish him much success. He has my full confidence and support, and I look forward to working with him. I would also like to thank Becky Vies and Ms. V. Willis of the MAPS Group for their superb management of the police chief recruitment and selection processes, including the assessment center. Additionally, I would like to sincerely thank the 8 professionals representing local government, police chief, and human resources management professions, and the 5 local citizens for their time and yeoman efforts assisting the city with the assessment center. Finally, I would like to thank Mayor O'Geary and Councilmember Day for representing City Council in the assessment center process. I was most impressed with all of the assessment center assessors. They provided me with value-added insights about each of the finalists and helped keep focus on their attributes or key dimensions. The City Council, community, police department employees, and I felt were most important for the new police chief. The key dimensions were professional knowledge, planning, decision-making and problem-solving, community relations, work perspective, leadership, staff development, and interpersonal communications. I would be remiss to not acknowledge and thank retired Police Chief Keith Sidwell for his commitment to training and developing the department's police officers and command staff. Because of his strong focus on training and development of departmental personnel, as well as preparing staff for succession planning, the Henderson Police Department did not miss a beat in serving the citizens of Henderson and staying focused on its mission to serve and protect during the interim period. How wonderful this is, and I offer most sincere thanks to the men and women of the Henderson Police Department for a job well done. I sincerely regret I cannot be in attendance this evening due to being on medical leave. However, tonight is Council's first meeting since the appointment of Chief Barrett, and it is important he be officially introduced and recognized as our new chief. Ladies and gentlemen, please officially and warmly welcome Marcus W. Barrett, Henderson's police chief.
I know Martin's going to come and get me right after this, I'm sure. But 2013, our violent crime rate at the beginning of the year, we really took a hit. It was probably one of the worst beginnings of a year that we had saw in a long time. It really bothered us. We took great strides in going aggressively after it, especially through the federal program and locking people up in the federal program. And also, when I took over, we went at the community and tried to get back in the community and start getting that community relationship to spring up and improve. Right now, we're sitting preliminary numbers. We're sitting at 12.2% decrease in overall crime for 2013. Like I said, violent crime is up a little bit. But that was at the beginning of the year. One homicide is too many. We saw 4 last year, and that's down from 7 the previous year. We're seeing great numbers, and I hope they continue. So far, so good for 2014. But we got to keep it up. But I appreciate all the support I get from you guys and gals. I appreciate it. So, thank you.
Chief, we appreciate you being our chief, and you can rest assured that the City Council is right with you. And anything we can do to help you, we want to do that. We look forward to the crime rate coming down. It sounds good. There's still a lot of work to be done, and I think you're the man that can bring it down.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Good to have you here. Good to have you as our chief.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mark?
The next item is the public hearing, the only item being for the purpose of receiving initial citizen comments relative to Ordinance 1403, requiring various certificates and permits that have the same legal entity name.
Okay. Mr. Frazier, we have a briefing on this.
Yes, sir, and Eris is making her way up. This is an item that the coming from the planning board, and Eris is going to give you some brief comments on that to update on to for the public hearing.
Eris?
Good evening, Council. Happy New Year to all of you that have not seen this so far this year. We are looking at an opportunity to do some more of a policy alignment with the way we allow businesses to operate in the city. We encountered some problems with businesses operating one permit under one name and one thing under another name and water count under another name, and we had no way of really doing enforcement or permitting accurately doing that. With this ordinance, we're trying to clean up some of that and make it a part of our practices and a part of our mandatory practices of doing business in Henderson that a entity have the same name throughout. You don't know, honestly, how much that is a problem for us. And we run into situations, we're running into them more frequently now than we have in the past, where you have a business get a zoning permit in one name, then they'll get an alcohol permit in another name, they'll get a previous license in another name, and water account, and none of it technically matches, but you know, physically it's all the same business. And so it's very hard to do enforcement on a business operating like that. So we're trying to make our practices a little bit cleaner in how we allow businesses to operate. It does form a problem when we get to a place and we realize the water is in somebody else's name, and that, you know, the river's license is in another name. And so it's just an effect that really is impacting us. This effort was a collaborative effort that we've worked with the planning department, the police department, and the fire department, came together to work on this idea, trying to just clean up the way we're handling businesses in the city. We're not trying to restrict anybody. We're not trying to prohibit anybody from doing business here. We want to welcome business, but it does make it a tangled web when we have different names. We're trying to, especially on the enforcement end, of being able to make sure things are operating properly.
Okay. Council, any questions here for Mr. Rainey?
Eris, I applaud you for trying to, I guess, clear this hodgepodge of different names and getting all under one umbrella. My question is, and I'm not here to blame anybody, but how did it get this way? I mean, you got the same department issuing privilege license and permits, and how did they get? And then they apply for water. How did y'all get different names and different? And ABC board permits. You know, is that a county?
Well,
permit?
It. What happens is many times a person will come in and say it's this particular store, and they'll, you know, have a zoning permit for the store. They'll maybe from time to time stores will do change of owner, but don't change the name of the store. Then they'll come in and get other permits under a new name but never change the originating name. And so then we run into a problem, and then when they go to get alcohol permit, they're using the same address, but they are, you know, making different people responsible for different things but using the same, you know, address of that store.
Who is they? You say they are making people responsible. Who are they?
The people that run businesses many times. It's a way that businesses are, we got a situation right now we're dealing with that is very, you know, two or three different entities are involved. Mm-hmm. But it's the same operation, but they're doing it under different people's names. They got the water under one set of names. They haven't even gotten the proper permitting that is required for the operation. And they're still, you know, trying to get business license set up. So requiring them to have everything come under one name before anything is released will clean up that. Now, I don't know whose fault it is. I think it's just been a practice.
Okay. When you say a name like, say, Staples,
mm-hmm.
do they have, they on that corporation name, they got Staples, do they have an individual person's name on that?
It's usually not a business like Staples that presents a problem.
So
it usually comes
business.
Into the small mom and pop type business.
Okay. Okay, and then their names are they considered a responsible person for anything? And if they sell, are new permits issued to the new people that bought it, even though they maintain the same name?
Right, they come in and get new zoning permits and new. They typically will get a new zoning permit because that's required. Then they may or may not change the water depending on. If that person is still affiliated, they may or may not, or may get a new alcohol permit, depending on who's still involved. Because many times you'll have a business that maybe changes, quote unquote, owners, but they're still involved. So it's not consistent throughout. So it makes the enforcement very hard when the operation is not consistent.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Dunson, as you assume that we pass the ordinance, as you tend to set out to bring compliance with the new ordinance and everybody, that you don't envision people having to pay new fees unless it's for a certification that they now do not have.
Right, we're not
asking if we're just going to get a change of name and if the fee's been paid by somebody else and they wish to roll that over, it can be done?
Right. Well, see, what happens right now is if they get a new change of name, you have to go through the whole process. And that's going to require them to go through the process when you do the change. And that's what's required now.
I'm understanding that, at least I do now that you mentioned it. But I'm saying if people do, they don't have to go back and resubmit the actual fees that somebody has paid to be operating for the permits that they now have or the certification.
They change the names because they're changing operations. Now, you know, we have many stores that will change operations sometimes two or three times a year.
I'm thinking that it may be of some encouragement to facilitate that if there was some way not to charge a new fee if we're dealing with the same people.
Typically, when we have an issue, you may have the same parent person involved, but then you may have another manager, another operator, and you still have a different quote unquote owner. Is how the what's happening, and sometimes I don't want to get into too personal things on a business, but. Somebody's had some kind of issues in the past and they are sometimes circumventing the straight line process, for lack of a better term.
So, Mr. Hitchco, I believe you have
this. Yeah, mine is, I guess, more of a technical question, and maybe Mr. Zolikoff would need to answer this. So if you've got a legitimate company, but they're operating under a subsidiary name or doing business as, is that acceptable?
Well, the way it's worded, you would have to have the same name, basically. And you do have some of these things in the landlord's name, some of them in the tenant's name, some of them in a corporation name that the tenant forms. And you may have a subtenant where they subleased it out to somebody, but that's where the high price comes in, I think, that Eris is talking about.
Yeah, and you just kind of touched on my next question, where you may have a unified development, and you've got one person that owns the entire development. but yet he is subleasing spaces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the person that is the leasee then is responsible for all permits?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if you were the landlord, you wouldn't come in and just get permits for all of your spaces. You would have this person, if they're occupying this space, they get their permits, and they get all permits required for that business in that space. The next person will come in and get theirs.
The only other question I've got is if you, for instance, you have an LLC and you have two partners that are equally owners in it, 50-50, does that mean only one partner is responsible for all of that, or is it strictly the managing partner?
I don't think that's covered by this. Your LLC would be the name they would be supposedly operating under it.
So the individual person would not matter.
But it would have to be the same LLC that you threw out.
If you have a partnership.
That's fine. I mean, I'm just, as you know, I get involved in these quite often. I just try to get the lay of the land.
But if you had a partnership, that partnership would need to have a name. Yeah. So it could be the name of the partnership. And you may have two different partners acting, but it would have to be under one name according to this ordinance.
Okay, Mr. Rainey.
So what we're voting on tonight is this ordinance, which requires that the same name is used throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then if it's passed, then it's up to your staff to go out and find those who have not and correct them. Is that correct? Am I statement right?
That would become a part of our permitting process, and we would do some, scanning to make sure that as many, that we have corrected those as we come along. Now, most of the time, the businesses that really are going to be impacted by this are the ones that are coming in quite frequently. So that will be a way of probably getting them in compliance is as they're coming in. We see quite a few changes in the beginning of the year, and around July is where we see a lot of these type of changes. Even though if it's a new business, it will be corrected as it comes along.
So getting back to what Mike was making reference to, is if a landlord owns like a strip mall,
mm-hmm.
and he got everything, only thing he's required to have is a permit to operate that as a mall. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to have a permit for each individual business himself.
No.
It's whomever.
The individual businesses will come in and get their permits to operate.
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Curdy?
Ms. Dunn, do you have any hint of what the scope of this is? I don't know how you compare it. I guess total number of business licenses and total number that you see that are confusing.
Well, what happens now with our permitting process being improved, it does give us the streamline of when a person comes in, we are automatically sending the development permit to all the entities that would be doing subsequent permits.
I understand, but I'm saying how broad of a problem do you have with the confusion? Is it 5%? Is it 20%?
I really wouldn't be able to give you a number. I can tell you it's enough that we feel like it needs some clarity or some definition so that moving forward we can clean up some issues. Because it typically, when it pops up, then we have to go through a web to get any kind of enforcement done. And so that's what we're trying to make sure that we're able to, when we're having to do any enforcement, we're doing it on the whole line versus, oh, wait a minute, this part is not in the name, but this part is, and this part is. So, that's what that's the initiation of this.
Mr. Onikoff, I think you have.
I want to clarify one thing. If a business has got a zoning special use permit to operate in that particular location, and he sells it to another business that's going to operate the same or that be applicable in that zoning, they would not have to go through the getting a new special use permit, but they would just have the permit changed over to that name. with it being
the change of owner.
With it being in that particular case, whether just changing it over, whether
just the change. We have a permit that is called a change of name, change of owner, and so they will go through that, the change of name, change of owner.
But it wouldn't require a new special use permit as long as the use didn't change.
Okay. So it would not be a new fee?
Not for the special use permit, but for the change of name, change of owner, which there is a fee with that.
Okay, Council, any other questions, anyone? Concerns here before I open this public hearing? Mr. Kearney?
Yes, sir. I'm still concerned that if I'm operating as Jim Kearney, and then I'm operating as James C. Kearney, and I'm operating as J.C. Kearney, and I go in to roll all this into James C. Kearney Sr., I don't want to pay a new water fee, a new this, a new that. I mean, we deal with the same people. We should not have to charge new fees. I don't know how you would do that, but somehow you need to not make it harder than it has to be. And to me, that would encourage me to come in and get it all done. If I figure I got to pay it again, I'm going to somehow be reluctant to do that probably.
Okay. Which raises have some comments on this?
Maybe I need to be making a comment as a citizen.
All right. Any other questions here for Ms. Thompson? Was your question answered?
I don't think so. That's why I keep coming back to it. Well, there is a process, and that sometimes it's going to be a new fee if you're dealing with different entities.
Right.
Different persons. I mean, if you're dealing with the same people, I just don't see it. Maybe I'm not...
You want to respond to that, Eric?
Well, you know, if it's dealing with the same person or the same people, it's pretty much the same throughout. J.C. Kearney is the same person as Jim Kearney. It's the same. What we're having a problem with is when this permit is in James Kearney, this permit is in Bob Kearney, this permit is in somebody that is different people.
Yeah.
You know.
He would have to change if all of them was under J.C.
Right. If it's under the same, you know, the same entity, that's the same. To, you know, when we're operating, it's when we have it under different people and different names.
Okay, I'm clear now.
Got it? Council, any other questions? Any concern? Ms. Zabaco, any concern?
I have one question.
Ms. Simmons?
Is this going to add to
it?
It would clean it up. It would make our workload, even though initially, you know, people would come in, it would make it a clean process. And this is also adding to our, as a addition to our one-stop permitting process, is trying to streamline and clean up this whole permitting. And Ms. Simmons, I know you're new, but this is something we've been working on all year, trying to get our permitting process cleaned up so that it is streamlined and it is simplified. We found this is a problem when we're trying to nail on the enforcement end, and we realize, oh, wait a minute, these permits are in different names. So this is still an effort to make our permitting process cleaned up. So I wouldn't say it adds to the workload. I would say it cleans up this process.
It'll make your workload much easier when you get it in place.
Initially, it may be a little effort, but like I said, I think it will make this whole process a lot better. And I think it will make any efforts, if say a business has a police issue, it gives the police the ability to go back and look at the whole line. And that makes it so much better than what we have right now when we keep running into these blocks.
Okay.
I've got one other little clarification. I don't mean to confuse the issue, but if somebody comes in, they have a change of ownership, and they change their name, you know, the ownership changes their name, and they want to get a new zoning compliance certificate. Mm-hmm. Suppose they've already got the fire inspection done in another name. Is that going to stop them from getting the zoning permit that they've got a fire inspection in another name? Something's got to come first and second. I don't mean to confuse.
Well, typically the zoning permit comes first.
Mm-hmm. So you would tell them they have to go get the other permits
right.
in their own name.
The zoning permit
won't deny the zoning permit because the fire inspection.
No,
permit
they would have to
in another name.
No. They would have to get the new inspection in the right name. But But typically, the zoning permit is the initiation of the whole process.
Because they came to the mall simultaneously.
Right.
Okay. Council, any other questions here before I open the public hearing? Anybody? Come in. Thank you, Harris, very much. Right. We appreciate the hard work you've done in this.
All right.
And you had other people working with you on it.
We did. Thank you.
Council, if no other questions, then we'll open this public hearing in regard to Ordinance 1403, and I ask if there's anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this change in ordinance. If so, please come forward. Anyone? Seeing no one, I ask if there's anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this ordinance change. Please come forward. Seeing no one, I declare this public hearing closed, and I ask Council, what is your pleasure?
May I introduce?
Introduced by Mr. Rainey.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dakin. Madam Clerk, call the vote, please, ma'am.
Mr. Kearney?
Aye.
Ms. Coffey? Mr. Inska?
Aye.
Mr. Rainey?
Aye.
Ms. Peace Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Dakin?
Yes.
Ms. Simmons?
Yes.
Mr. Day?
Aye.
And the order is approved. Thanks, everyone, and thanks to all who had a hand in this. We appreciate that. It'd be much better for the city. Madam Clerk, go ahead.
The next item is public comment period on agenda items, and no one has signed up to address council. Okay. So we'll move on to new business, the first being consideration of approval of Resolution 1401, receiving the comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year ending 30 June 2013.
Mr. Frazier, you have a briefing on that.
Yes, sir. We're pleased tonight to be bringing you the audit, and like to thank Kathy Bradford and her staff, and Curtis Averett and his staff at Wheatmill Stark for doing that. And I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, and then she will, and then Mr. Averett, you can come up also.
Kathy, come forward, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As Frank said, we have Curtis Averett here with us tonight. Curtis is one of the senior partners with the CPA firm of Wheatmill Stark and Company. And he's going to some of the highlights of the fiscal year 2013 financial audit for the city. And I would just like to say that Curtis and his audit staff were very good to work with this past year, and I personally feel that the process went very well. Curtis has a good team. Dean Overby, Mary Insko, and Jacob Lindberg were the staff members who came on site to work with us, and they were all very good to work with. Jacob was the primary staff member assigned to the city's audit, and he was wonderful. He's very efficient and very responsive, and the city's audit, I think as we had mentioned to you one time before, was submitted on time this year to the local government commission. It has been approved. And I think for the first time in a few years, the mayor did not receive a letter.
That is right. Thank heavens.
And we were so glad. But anyway, Curtis is going to present some of the highlights of the audit and address any questions that you might have. Thank you,
Curtis. Curtis, come forward. Good to have you.
Take good your time, you all. Thank y'all for having me here tonight. Thank you, Kath. And again, once again, thank you to Kathy and her staff. We did a very good job of getting all of the information ready for us. As Kathy mentioned, your report was filed on time, which is always good. It was actually submitted the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Audit reports are due to the local government commission by October 31st, but you get a 30-day grace period to get those submitted, so we got it in before that time, and we're actually started discussions with Kathy about potentially how we could get it in before October 31st, so we're moving towards that day. I was the auditor of the city a while back, and there was a period where we were not, and then there was a period where we did some front-end work for the auditor that you had. So, but having that history is the first time in about 10 or 12 years that I don't have any drama to report as far as the financial situation of the city is concerned, and kudos to all of you for that. I think it goes back to the early 2000s, the dot-com bust, and the governor taking the franchise tax. That was sort of the first thing that hit the city's finances in a very negative way. And from that time, there were different things that came along, but we won't go into that. Again, very thankful to have the city's report in on time. And that's kudos to Kathy and her staff. And the local government commission approved it fairly quickly. I think it was before Christmas that we had that approved. We were able to issue what was called an unqualified, and the old terminology was called an unqualified opinion on the city's finances. The city receives over $500,000 in federal and state money, so we also have to do an audit of compliance with your internal control procedures and your financial reporting over those grants. We do not have any findings on those issues as well. We did not have any stewardship findings as far as the budget was concerned. All of that was in very good shape. So again, just good all the way around. Just a few items to mention. As far as I think last year, we did have a budget item that was a finding, and as I said, they were correct. We also had an issue with the water and sewer AR, and Kathy and her staff worked diligently on that. That issue has been resolved. I would classify it as 100%, enough efforts have been done to have that working very well as far as on a year-to-year basis. There are some prior year items that I think Kathy wants to continue to track down. She is working on that. As far as we'd like to point out a couple of things, in the audit that we do, we work with Kathy on some on what we call estimates that are not 100% defined. You have to work with information to come up with a number that is doable as far as your financials are concerned. One thing that came up with that was the deeding of the library back to the city. We did not have a full-blown appraisal done for that, but the city did not. So what we did is we went back to what was the original cost of that part of that project. So we actually put that on at that cost, less the accumulated depreciation that had been taken by the foundation. So we felt like that was a fair value based on the information that we knew. Let's see here now. One item that we would like to point out is the Henderson Fireman Supplemental Retirement System. The system's 5-member board of trustees includes 1 member of the city council, 2 members of the Henderson Fire Department, and 2 appointees of the Henderson Board of Fire and Casualty Underwriters. This is an entity that has been around a long time. It's actually created by state statute in the 50s. The system is funded by payments received from the Fireman's Relief Fund. Some municipalities handle this differently than the city does. The city was part of a group. It's actually somewhat interesting to find out the history of it. The city of Henderson was part of a small group in the 50s that went before the legislature, and actually the supplemental retirement was created by state statute, as I said. The system is codified by state law and is subject to specific requirements beyond those of the Fireman's Relief Fund. It may be prudent for the city to consider the satisfaction of such requirements, which include quarterly board meetings, annual financial reports, and biannual financial statement audits. So I don't know which council member is on that board. We pointed out to Kathy that this is an item that, while it had no impact on the city's audit, the city does have a fiduciary responsibility. The check actually comes to the city. The contribution, I think it is a part of everyone's insurance payments in the city. A portion of that is returned by the insurance commissioner to the city, and then I think it is taken to the fire department where it's deposited, and then payments are paid out of that. So Again, just being prudent, just letting you know that a little bit of the history of it, and it does exist. We've put a footnote in the financials. It's not a part of your financials at all, but again, it may be good to do some due diligence on that to make sure we're in compliance with all of those particular requirements or whatever. As I stated last year, years ago, when I first started this, I used to go through this book line by line, and people didn't like that too much. I've already been put on the plot by one of the council members already, that I shouldn't take too long. So I prepared for some summary items that I think you'll find of interest. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them tonight if I can't.
Council, any questions here from Ms. Taylor?
Any questions at this
point? Yeah, I got one. Ms. Taylor, when we look at city debt and we look at debt to revenue ratio, would you compare the city of Henderson as having a low debt based on the revenue that we receive, or moderate debt, or is it a high debt?
Can I come back to that question? I have some information on that.
Sure.
And then once I do that, I'll come back to that. That's okay. Any other questions?
Any other questions, Council? Anyone?
As far as the general government is concerned of the city is divided up into two components. One is the general government, which includes the general fund, of course, power bill, and then also some non-major funds, which are capital projects associated with the general fund, and some small special revenue funds, things like that. As far as performance this year, the general government total fund balance was $5,821,792, which was an increase of $230,000 over the previous year. So in a private setting, that would be our income for the year. To boil that down even further, the general fund balance, which the general government divided into two parts, general fund and the non-major fund. Most of your non-major funds, when you set that up, your fund balance is restricted. So that means that it's set aside for that purpose. So I'll just deal with the general fund in the comments here. Your total fund balance for just the general fund was $5,092,940, which was an increase of $316,000 over the previous year. Those components are made up of reserve for state statute, which is any money that is due to you that has not been paid, but it was paid in the next year. State statute says you can't count that towards your fund balance to use. That number was $1,042,496. Your asset forfeiture, which is the drug seizure money, was $663,547. Your power bill was $267,610. And then you all use some of your fund balance for next year's budget, so you have to restrict that. So that was $153,000. All that boils down to the number that you all really want to know, which is your unassigned, available to use fund balance for next year, which is $2,966,287. The good news of that is, because of some reductions in the other kinds of fund balance that I listed, your actual unassigned fund balance increased by $960,000 during the year. So from a performance standpoint, that went very well. Speaking more to Mr. Inkett and Mr. Ensko's comment, as far as your note payable general fund, and this is debt that is a part of the general fund. You actually have three notes. One is to Wachovia for the ACOP complex. One is to the police station, and one is to Vance County. So, from as far as the balances on those are concerned, the ACOP complex, the debt is $792,000, which has a current portion, which means amount to be paid in the next year, will be $264,000. So, and the police station, the balance is $2,035,000, and the current portion of that is $350,000. and the note to Vance County is $98,250, and the amount due on that is $32,700. So I'll break this up into components, Mr. Ansco. As far as your debt in your general fund is concerned, the amount of total debt, and if my math is correct, which is shy of $3 million, and then as far as the assets of the city and revenues of the city in the general fund, I think that would compare favorably to other municipalities of your size. And then as far as the current portion is concerned, which is most important, which is the amount of money that's due in the next year, again, if my math is correct, about $650,000, I would think that that's a manageable amount that the city could handle in a year's time. Switching over to the proprietary funds, as far as your performance is concerned, the debt income, now proprietary is a little bit, but that's your water, sewer, and water and sewer funds and related funds with that. Your net income was $5,325,804. Last year, one thing I would like to point out, last year your net income was $11,887,000. Now, the reason for the big swing is there was a note receivable put on the books last year in Granville County that went straight to revenue. So that's the reason for the disparity. And actually, we have an item this year due to this note receivable to Vance County, which came on in this fiscal year, which was $1.7 million. So we've got some items in there that are working with our bottom line a little bit, but from a performance standpoint, even if you back that off, you're still in the neighborhood of a net income of about $4 million. So that speaks well to the managing of the water and sewer fund. And again, when I say the fund balance, the net income or the fund balance increase, they go hand in hand. As far as your components of your fund balance or net assets of your water and sewer fund, your total fund balance for the water and sewer fund is $75 million, but now $56 million of that is fixed assets, things that, of course, we can't spend. The unrestricted fund balance, which was an item Mr. Griffin wanted me to speak to, the unrestricted fund balance for the water fund is almost $14 million, $13,753. The sewer fund is $1 million, and the regional water is $4.4 million, for a total of, and again, about $18 million that is available in the three funds to use as we go forward. As far as the notes receivables for, as I spoke about those before, at the end of June 30, 2013, Granville County owed $7,198,000, and Vance County owed $1,750,000. Mr. Ansco, you had a question. And last year when I came to present the audit, there was a smaller, similar arrangement with Vance County in a previous year, and that agreement was done a little different. So we are reporting on the city, and we advise the city to report that revenue as it comes in. We did not book a receivable on that. They changed the methodology on that at a later time. As far as the debt is concerned, long-term liabilities, the revenue bond on the proprietary funds, water sewer funds, $8,024,000. The balance of that at June 30, 2013 is $6,459,000. Again, getting back to your question, taking into account the amount of investment in the proprietary funds and the performance of the revenue fund, again, I would say that was a manageable amount, and the Public Government Commission did not point anything out to the contrary on that. And I have another entity that is in a situation where the local commission monitors the water and sewer fairly closely as far as ratios and what they're looking to see. So we did not give any comment back on that as far as human levels. One other item to point out, your tax collection rate. Most folks like to know that. In this fiscal year, the collection rate was 93.59%. Last year was 93.87%. So slightly down. One thing that I think will change as we go forward now with your car taxes being paid, I think that's going to change quite a bit as we go forward. So we anticipate some movement in that towards a higher collection rate.
Okay, Council, any other questions here? Mr. Aver? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Council, what is your pleasure here?
Introduced.
Mr. Inchcoat?
Second.
Second by Mr. Dakin. Madam Clerk, call roll, please.
Ms. Coffey, Mr. Insco?
Aye.
Mr. Rainey?
Aye.
Ms. Peace Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Dakin?
Yes.
Ms. Simmons?
Aye.
Mr. Day?
Aye.
And Mr. Kearney?
Yes. The resolution is approved.
Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
If I may, because this is excellent work done by our finance department.
Oh, yeah.
And our finance director and, yeah, and her employees, and we would give you kudos on such a good report.
Nice job. Madam Clerk, I think we're ready.
The next item is consideration of approval of Resolution 1403, approving the bid award for the Henderson Police Department Training Center Repair Project to Highland Company of Eastern NC, LLC, and Ordinance 1401, Fiscal Year 14, Budget Amendment Number 22, amending the project budget to include additional repairs.
Frazier, you have a briefing on that?
Yes, sir. This is a bid award for some repair work for a building that was at a police training center. Marcus, our police chief, and city engineer Pete Sikowski handled this, and I'd like either one of them to come to the front.
Okay.
We've been before on this on various topics, but back in March of 2013, we had damage that was caused by a fire. It was investigated, but no findings have been found. Really couldn't determine what caused the fire. But in doing so, we filed an insurance claim with the League of Municipalities, and they gave us a sum amount of $29,678.24. That was deposited sometime in June. In looking at the project and looking at bidding it out, we also found other areas at the training center that needed some attention. One was an open well, we have a permit for that now, and that is part of this. And we also have a trailer that was used for training, I think in the 70s, and it's in disrepair. It's pretty bad, and we don't want anybody getting hurt up there on that piece of property. So there's two sub-awards on here, and if we chose to go with this person's bid, those two sub-awards would be discounted at $700. We used state, I believe. State Asset Forfeiture Fund to bring the total up to $35,168.26. And we followed proper protocol on the awarding of a bid. We had several people come and look at the property, and only one person bid on the property.
Okay. Any question here, Council? And one? Thank you, Martha.
Thank you very much.
What's your pleasure, Council? Yeah.
Introduced
Mr. Mayor. Introduced by Mr. Rainey, second by Mr. Inchcoat.
Mr. Kearney.
Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Mr. Inchcoat?
Aye.
Mr. Rainey?
Aye.
Ms. Peace Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Dakey?
Yes.
Ms. Simmons? Mr. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Kearney?
Yes.
And Ms. Coffey?
And the resolution is approved, and the ordinance also. Madam Clerk?
The next item is consideration of approval of Resolution 1410, authorizing an agreement between the Embassy Cultural Center Foundation and the City of Henderson for the use of city-owned parking lot and approving terms of a temporary construction easement allowing use of city-owned parking spaces by Variety Wholesalers, Inc.
OK. Okay, Mr. Frazier, you have a briefing on that?
Yes, sir. This is a part of the, of course, the construction for the theater will be beginning soon. And Mr. Zollicoffer is here to answer and talk more about this, and I believe John Wester is here also.
Okay. I'm going to hand out to y'all a plat of the Embassy Square block so that y'all can follow what's going on perhaps a little bit better. Chestnut Street is at the top of this map, and White Street is at the bottom. The blank spot at the top is the blank lot. It's where the library is presently located, and to its left is the library parking lot. Down at the bottom, you have the Variety Wholesale lot, which it uses and which it owns, but is the Embassy Cultural Center Foundation has an easement to use that lot for performances that it has in the Performing Arts Center, which is being built. This is the last thing, I think, that needs to be done before the construction actually commences on the Performing Arts Center. The Embassy Foundation, when they build this Performing Arts Center on the red marked area, are going to need access across the Variety Wholesaling lot in order to bring in the equipment and to store materials and what have you. Of course, that's going to disrupt Variety Wholesalers' parking, and they need places for their downtown people to park, and they have right many of them. What the proposed agreement does is it allows the Embassy Foundation to use that lot that's on the bottom part next to the left of the red mark plot, except for 11 spaces along Winder Street that Variety Wholesalers would retain. Variety Wholesalers would also be permitted to use, subject to approval of everyone, the property up here next to the library for their overflow parking. They could use that lot. In order to accommodate the library patrons, and I understand Mr. Wester has approved this with the library, and this is the second agreement comes into effect. That's covered by the temporary construction easement. The city would be asked to join in too, merely because we own the library and the library parking lot, so we would agree to the right wholesalers could move up there. The library patrons would be encouraged to use the parking on Breckenridge Street together with the city lot opposite Breckenridge Street on the opposite side that's off the map to the right. And the lease covers that parking lot to the Embassy Cultural Center. And that's for 1 year, through February 1st. And the Embassy Cultural Center Foundation would agree that the present lot that's owned there would be used for embassy parking, for library parking, and also, the city would, and also the embassy would pave and grade and landscape the remaining city property there so it would be available for future public parking, and during the term of the lease, the library patrons could utilize that lot also. But the city will, of course, get its lot graded and landscaped and paved with asphalt by the Embassy Foundation, and they agree to do the work in good workmanship manner and with plans that are approved by the city engineer, and also they agree to indemnify and hold us harmless from any liability and require the contractor to have liability insurance for $1 million for personal injury and $100,000 for property damage. And so basically we've got two agreements, one that relates to the cross easements between the temporary construction easement for the use of the Variety Wholesaling lot by the Embassy Foundation to build their Performing Arts Center, the Variety Wholesaling moving up into the city parking lot next to the library. And then the other lease is for the lot across from Breckenridge Street that could be used for overflow library patients, and the Embassy is going to agree to pave and landscape that. Great. y'all have any questions. If you do, I'll try to answer. If not, Mr. Wester is here, who is president of the Embassy Foundation.
John, would you like some call to make any comment?
No, I just have the, John, the attorney alluded to a letter from the trustees of the library, and that's it's just a library office stating their agreement to this concept. And I'll just summarize it real quickly. What John said is great, but basically we're swapping lots with Variety Wholesale during the construction process. It's critical that we maintain the Variety Wholesale parking lot as close to their existing parking as we possibly can. And one other note, that those 11 parking spots that are in the current Variety Wholesale lot are not going to be used by Variety Wholesale. They'll be used by the library staff. So the library staff will not be inconvenienced. They'll still have convenient parking. And there will be ancillary parking as well across the street and along the area. But our intention is to, you know, the timing of this issue is sort of sensitive. We're, you know, it's soon going to start happening. And our intentions are, we're still moving forward with the city lot across the street from the library. That's still a work in progress, and we're working towards that goal. However, weather plays a significant factor in that issue. You can't do a lot of stuff when it's cold and it's wet. When it's wet, so we'll have a little bit of a hiccup to deal with in the summer months about addressing those issues as well. But this is simply an easement to you for the switch to occur, right. And the library staff and then trustees agreeing to it.
Council, we have a question here from Mr. Weston and one. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate you briefing us on that. Council, what is your pleasure here? Introduced by Ms. Peace Jenkins, seconded by Mr. Day. Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Mr. Rainey?
Yes. Aye.
Ms. Peace Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Dagey?
Yes.
Ms. Simmons? Mr. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Kearney?
Yes.
Ms. Coffey? And Mr. Ensco?
Aye.
And the resolution is approved. Madam Clerk, we're ready.
The next item is consideration of approval of Resolution 1405, providing for the disposition of jointly held property by the city and county, county, otherwise identified as 514 High Street, tax parcel number 00080103.
Okay. Frazier, there's a briefing on this.
Yes, sir. Well, the city received information from Vance County about an offer they have received for this property, and the wanted to bring this before the council, and John may have some further information on it as far as the deed, but it's a parcel that if it's... go ahead.
It's a piece of property that was bought at a tax foreclosure sale, and the county apparently has a buyer who's interested in it, and in the past we deeded our interest to the buyer, interest in the property to the county. The county has sold it, and we get a percentage of the net proceeds that correlates to our percentage of the unpaid taxes on our population account. And that's what the same procedure we've done before, and it's ready to go as soon as y'all approve.
Okay, any question then?
Just a question. We can't recover our liens in this transaction as far as the division of taxes.
Yeah, we've got some liens on it, you know?
It is.
So
we did a lot of abatement and things, items like that.
If I will try to amend the deed to send that.
Explain to me the relationship here, Mr. Property John. The city does not have ownership.
It was bought in the city and the county's name, but foreclosure sale, tax foreclosure. Okay. And the county's been, in the past, we've been letting the county sell them, and they handle all that aspect. We deal with the property. And we've done a group of them in a group one time. And this one, we're just doing the individual one.
Can we have some say-so in terms of how this property is sold? For example, can we add that whoever the buyer is current on all their taxes on their personal and business properties? Or would the county sell it to somebody who was?
They'd have to pay the taxes on this one, I know that.
If we want somebody to buy a property that they're obviously going to fix up, and my guess is rent. But that's a
guess. Putting on the tax books again.
Mm-hmm. And they owe property taxes already. We want them to have more property that we may have to...
I don't know whether you can prohibit people from bidding on public property men because they owe taxes. I don't know whether that could be a stipulation or not. We'll note that we encourage it, but I don't know that we can prohibit it.
From our end of the deal, can it be? We would like to make sure that's part of it.
Well, I don't think we can prohibit people from bidding on public properties, yes.
Each property stands on its own merit.
Yeah, and require the payment of their taxes as part of the transaction?
Taxes on this particular
piece. Other property.
I don't think we can require that, keep them from bidding on this. It may not be under those. I don't know who's bidding on it personally, but the county has been handling that.
Yeah,
we put liquor bids, I don't think that's a criteria.
It'd be nice to make sure they're current. I guess my other stipulation, if they're not making rental, subsidy rental, that comes out the door too. I think these properties are going to get bought up cheaply and fixed up cheaply and put back on the rental market. You know, I hate that we participate in that, seeing we've got plenty of that as it is. The stipulations to those kind of ends, which from our end, seem would be helpful. But if we can't do it, we can't do it. But, so you're saying we cannot do it?
We might be able to stipulate it not be used for a certain use, but I think that the county would have to agree to that, and the county has not. I think they've got a buyer really willing and able to proceed. I don't know who it is and don't know what the use would be.
So can we not? I'm not particularly interested in the buyer. Not trying to make it personal. I'm just trying to make it, put property back into good use and to a use that would be beneficial to the city. Because it's in the city. I understand the county's option. They're tax collectors and so on. This is going to be put back into use in the city where we need to collect taxes. And we need good
money. I hate to mess up a sale which we're going to get our taxes collected because we don't need to be sold very often.
Well, we're going to get the taxes on this, but that's not a whole lot of money considering the use. If it were put back to a positive use. And then, of course, that's why I ask, were they current on their taxes? If they're not current on other taxes, and we may get them on this, we may not get them on this on the second year. So I guess that's a question.
I don't think you put them in to be current on the use, but I think y'all could put a stipulation in that it not be used for certain purposes. But I don't think that would be binding on the county unless they include it also.
Mr. Hitchcock, I think you have a question.
Mr. Dickey, I think that there's one important factor here that whoever purchases the property will have to get a current building permit for the renovations or improvements to the property. And if it's been vacant for over a year, it's going to have to be brought up to the North Carolina Building Code standards.
It is proportionate to the parties' respective unpaid ad valorem taxes, liens, penalties, and interest only. So the liens would be covered in our percent we would get.
Good. Is that these $450?
Yes, it'd be liens. They own record the tax office, it would be.
All right. Any other questions, comments here? Mr. Kearney?
Just looking at an attachment to the CAFs. Council action form shows an offer to purchase from a Roger M. Silver and states the amount of the purchase price and how the transaction will be closed and so forth.
I apologize, I did not read the action format.
You know, I did, I didn't see it. How much was the purchase price?
$2,500. Which won't cover all of the liens and the taxes. That'll do it if the taxes are $2,732, and then we got $475 of liens. Without appropriating, I suppose.
Well, we're just making a problem worse. It is, but it's just making a problem worse in that area.
Okay. Any other questions here concerning council? Any other comment? With the pleasure to council.
Well, it's not an issue at hand whether we want to give our interest to the county to facilitate the sale.
Correct.
I guess that's a matter of precedent been set, so I'll introduce it.
Introduced by Mr. Kearney. Is that a second?
That's second.
Second by Ms. Peace-Jenkins. Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Ms. Peace-Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Dakey?
No.
Ms. Simmons?
Aye.
Mr. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Kearney?
Yes.
Ms. Coffey? Mr. Insko?
Aye.
And Mr. Ray?
Aye.
And it is approved. Madam Clerk, I think we're ready for the next item.
The next item is consideration of approval of Ordinance 1409. Fiscal Year 14 Budget Amendment Number 23, amending the water fund to use contingency funds to appropriate additional legal fees within the Water Distribution Department.
Mr. Frazier, you have a briefing on that.
This ordinance, Mayor, as you know, we've encountered some legal fees as a result of the lawsuit involving the City of Oxford and Round County Oil Sales Agreement. This moves funds to pay for those legal fees.
Exactly. Any questions concerning council here? Anybody?
How much are we talking about? I'm not understanding the point. So I see an amendment saying
$5,000.
$5,000. In addition to whatever else has been in that fund.
Definitely.
Any other questions concerning council?
So what is the total that we move towards this function today? $10,000 previously, $5,000 today? This is $5,000 to this fund.
So I don't know the exact amount. Oxford is picking up the big fees. Bramble County is picking up the big fees from the Raleigh firms. The last month they've had me actively involved, especially.
So do we know will we need to do more of this in the future?
Oh, there will be probably some more we'll get through this lawsuit.
You can rest
assured. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, council? Anybody? What's the pleasure of the council?
I introduce.
Introduced by Mr. Rainey. Second by Mr. Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. And the clerk, call the roll, please.
Mr. Dahey?
Yes.
Ms. Simmons?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Aye.
Mr. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Kearney?
Yes.
Ms. Coffey? Mr. Rinsko?
Aye.
Mr. Rainey?
Aye.
And Ms. Peace-Packers?
Yes. And ordinance is approved. Madam Clerk?
We will now move on to the consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda have either been previously discussed by City Council during a previous meeting and or are considered in the ordinary course of business by the City Council and will be enacted on by one motion in a roll call vote in the form listed. If discussion is desired by either the Council or the audience, the item in question will be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately after the revised consent agenda has been approved. The first item is consideration of approval of Ordinance 1404, Fiscal Year 14, Budget Amendment Number 20, authorizing the transfer of contingency funds to engineering in the CIP Regional IBT project. Next is consideration of approval of Resolution 1408, awarding the departmental gun and badge to retiree Lieutenant Marshall Perry. And lastly, consideration of approval of tax releases and refunds from Vance County for the months of November and December 2013.
Okay, Council, any questions, concerns here on any of these items?
I have a question just about a total in the tax release. I just can't quite figure it out. Can I just pull that one just so I can ask a question on it?
Yeah. Okay. We'll pull that one and look at it later. Any other concerns, Council, here? Any of these? Other than your tax release?
Sir, saving the tax issue, I move that the remainder consent agenda be approved.
Second by Mr. Kearney, second by Mr. Rainey. Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Ms. Simmons? Mr. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Kearney?
Yes.
Ms. Coffey? Mr. Inskow?
Aye.
Mr. Rainey?
Aye.
Ms. Peace Jenkins?
Yes.
And Mr. Day?
Yes. Okay. Okay, approved. Okay, let's go back to the taxes.
Just may I ask a question?
Yeah.
On the tax release, on the first page, you see there are 10 releases there, all $20 each. And then if you flip over, there's another dozen or so, and then it totals at $6,000. For the life of me, I can't figure how you get that total there. I wonder if it's just a typo or unless there's something missing here. Those would add up to, you know, maybe $1,000. $12,000, $13,000. I don't know where that 6219 comes from. Anybody help me with that? Unless something was left out. For that first table on page one and the first top of page two, I don't see how you get the total R&B property releases at 6219. Yeah, what's listed, it's more like 1,000 or two. So just a question about total. Maybe we could just send this back to the tax department for clarification.
I'll check on it. Something, I don't know if something got out of when we try to combine them or what happened, right. But yeah, we can.
All right, I'll tell you.
Let the big guy.
Is there a motion to refer this back and to bring it up at our next council meeting?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Randy, second by Mr. Gay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed by saying, so carried. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, dear.
The next item is public comment period on non-agenda items. We did have one citizen who thought they might want to speak, but they are not here this evening, so we have no one to address council. So we move on to reports. Mayor Pro Tem.
Pro Tem.
I don't have anything, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Brazier?
Assistant City Manager.
As you will see in your package, there is an audit report on the Prairie Memorial Library. And if you have any questions, we can try to answer those, but it is attached in your package. The only other item I have, Mayor and Council, is that just a reminder that our loose leaf collection ends this Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of the job our guys did this year.
Great job.
So we're out this week catching up, some that haven't been done yet. But like I said, I thought did a very good job of that this year.
Yeah. Excellent.
I have a question, Frank, and I made mention about the leaves. We talked about the leaves. Starting to see all right. I noticed today when I was going at Chester Street, these contractor landscape people who are doing yard work, particularly in front of PNC, they're blowing all their leaves off the thing, all into Chestnut Street, the middle of Chestnut Street. Now, in the ones were along the gutter and one was on the sidewalk, they were just blowing them all out into the street. Is that, what do we do about that? Is that just something that they responsible for going back and getting in the middle of the street, or is it like traffic blowing back wherever they want to blow?
Well, unfortunately, we've been dealing with that quite a while, Mr. Rainey, and we place it on, our regulations as not to be blown into the street and then into the curbs. It happens. I think we need to, probably the best way to handle it is to get a list of all the landscaping companies and try to make them aware of what's going on with it. I don't know that I have seen personally a firm representative doing that after our street sweeper went along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something we just got to keep working on as far as, and I'm not sure there's any regulation that we can do with it, but it is a problem. I have seen that myself.
Well, maybe we need to sit on letters, that's up to y'all, but I thought it was kind of defeating the purpose for us to go along and be cleaning the streets, and they're blowing right back
in. It may be littering. That might be littering.
Frazier, will you look after that?
Yes, sir.
Report back to the council at our next meeting.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Burke.
City Attorney.
Nothing, thank you.
Okay.
City Clerk?
I have two items. For those of you who have not told me whether or not you plan to attend the chamber banquet on the 28th, I would really appreciate hearing from you tonight. I have talked to the chamber. They have maybe a handful of tickets left and would like tickets back from people that are not going to use them. So I have you. So if you can let me know about that. And also your questionnaire for the retreat. Those were due back today, so if I could have those, I would appreciate it. And that's all I have.
Okay, I think we're ready for our work session.
Okay.
Before that, there's a couple of things to report from an economic development standpoint.
Good.
The new entity, I'm not sure, but it's the Rural Partnership Grants, and I don't know if Frank, we got any grants pending to go that would have normally gone to the Rural Center but now going to the new entity on the Commerce?
Yes, sir. We have a water application for two projects that the council approved up US 158 and Becker Drive. They'll be considered by the Division of Water Infrastructure. And we're also looking at some CDBG applications that for infrastructure that there will be announcing the funding in mid-February. So we're, me and Harris and some others are getting together on that to look at some alternatives for that.
Right. I mentioned that because they told us that they have will probably approve the application form this week by the board. But then there's a short window there by February 15th is to get them in. So you know that.
Yes, sir.
There's, because they have appointed an interim director of that agency within Commerce. And some time ago, we, I guess, concurred in or endorsed the Triangle North to pursue getting some type of professional marketing help. And that is underway, and I understand they are negotiating now a contract for some consultant help on that. So maybe in a few
That was consummated January 1st.
It was consummated, okay. I was told tonight that maybe they hadn't worked out all the details. But so I won't mention the name of the contract or what it is working on.
That's good. Thank you. Okay.
Before you leave, if you can sign the lease and that cross,
I'll do that.
The contemporary construction easement, I hope that Vesta has copies. So I appreciate it.
That's it.
Okay. Oh, yes. Ms. Clark?
Yes, sir. I just would like to bring to the council attention a few things.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Sometimes you all are talking, and I can't hear back here.
Oh, my goodness.
I hear very well, but I can't hear what you were saying. But I tell you, coming into Bedford Drive,
Graham Avenue,
Bedford Drive. That street coming in there, you can hardly get in there at times without getting hit by a car.
Okay. As
the school bus comes up and they make their turn, then another car coming. It's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous situation, I would think, and I'm a pretty good driver. But I would like for you to think about it. And I have several other things, but you know my mind is not as good as you.
Are you speaking about the NC Highway 39 intersection?
No.
Dabney Drive.
Beckford and Dabney Drive.
Right.
You know, you can't make that left turn on either arm.
That's a state.
That's what she's talking about.
Road, I think.
Mr. Fraser. Mayor, we have requested the left turn lane before from DOT, and they have denied it. That's been a while back. We could certainly do that again.
Let's do a letter to them and see if we can get some action.
On Dabney or on Beck?
Left turn on to Dabney.
Yeah.
And then
you can't see
the next item I have is the Chestnut Street. The traffic on Chestnut Street is very dangerous when the churches are out. I think somebody had mentioned it once before, but we would like to, there are two churches, Cotton Memorial Presbyterian Church and the, what's the name? The other street.
Library?
Yeah. And
Holy Innocent?
Yes. Holy Innocent.
Yeah.
When they let out for church or they're taken in, they can hardly get across sometime. And if something can be done about that, it would be very helpful. And I just want to bring those two things to the council's attention.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Fraser, will you look into that and see what we can do in that situation? Yes. And report back to the council.
There may be a situation where you could put a pedestrian button so that you could push it and the light would turn red to do a crosswalk.
But
we need
Chestnut part from Andrews would be DOT. We'd have to look at them with that part. Back from the city back in with the
and dealing with them takes forever. But we will do our very best, Ms. Clark.
Okay. Thank you very kindly.
Good to have you here.
I am so glad that you brought up that, because you reminded me of something that I need to bring up about traffic. I live right across from Henderson Collegian. I know that issue may have come up before here, but there needs to be a speed bump or something out there, because when those kids are getting out of school and they get out like 5 o'clock in the evening, sometimes it was dark. Cars don't care that they're getting out of school.
What is that street
name? It's County Home Road.
County Home Road. Mr. Frazier, let's look at
that. There needs to be some school signs put up or something out there.
You mean we don't have school signs at all out there?
None.
What about lighting?
The lighting, there's not a lot of lighting out
there.
That's
what I'm saying. We need to look at the lighting of that.
Yeah, there's a light in front of my door. But up the street, there's not much at all.
We'll take a look at that. Thanks for bringing it up to our attention. Okay. Frank, be sure we look at that. Okay? Madam Clerk?
Ready? Next item is the work session. Consideration of approval of Resolution 1407, authorizing the execution of change order number 2 for the Henderson Water Reclamation Facility Project to Devere Construction Company, Inc., in the amount of $33,080, and Ordinance 1408, amending the fiscal year 14 budget to authorize the use of the contingency funds to the Henderson Water Reclamation Facility Project for change order number 2.
All right. Mr. Frazier?
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, we're still way on the construction, and as far as the wastewater treatment plant upgrade, and of course, it's been an extremely wet month. We do have some change orders that we are currently working with the contractor on getting prices and things. So we wanted to give you an update and have those hopefully ready for our next meeting to fully consider. So Tom, if you would come up and give just a brief description of some of the items that we're looking at, and like I said, just really wanted to give you an update so far, but where we are with that.
Tom, I know this is going to be good because you're smiling.
How you doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen?
We're good.
And Mr. Frazier, I appreciate you putting me last on the agenda. Look, hey, the ones that are slow getting it in, they get to deal with it. Look, I've got some items that have built up as some change order items. And Frank, I don't know how you want to handle this, but Jason gave me a credit in his email to me, but he's got it listed for the next change order. But the credit is there. It's a credit for a reduction in concrete shrinkage. It's $5,284.
Yeah, what we need to do tonight, Tom, is because, like I mentioned, some of these numbers are floating. Hopefully we can go down, but if you'll mention just some of the items that we are looking at.
I'll run through the items right quick, and I'll try to explain them best I can. The first one we had was a caustic injection manhole replacement. That seems expensive, but it was necessary. It's a 4-foot manhole, and they had a tap with a caustic line, and that pipe is under pressure. And caustic, Red Devil line, that's what caustic is. It'll burn you bad. I think we needed more room in that manhole to have a face shield to get back from where that thing is tapped right on the force main. It was too close. I thought it was too dangerous like that. And so we swapped that out. And we added a short piece of piping at the final clarifier effluent. That might seem kind of expensive for a short piece, but that's a 30-inch pipe. It doesn't take much pipe at all to add up to that much. In Bowlidge, I talked to the engineer. A certain company that picks up our dumpsters doesn't have drivers with the most finesse, and they will tear the dumpster all to pieces. So I requested two additional boulders to go in there to protect it. so he couldn't hit it so hard.
Has it been brought to management, Tom?
What's that?
Has it been brought to management?
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, some of our stuff that they've bent, they've had to replace it twice.
Oh, really?
It's an ongoing thing. Hmm. I don't know. You know, that's... I won't make any judgment call, but that's a, that is a problem with whoever the driver is coming in. In a big hurry. We had to get a termite inspection for the administration building, and I think that was a county requirement. I don't think we had a choice on that at all with a new building that was going in. It seemed kind of strange to do a termite inspection on a cement slab, but it had to be done.
Was it not retreated?
I don't think it was, not to my knowledge.
That wasn't written in the original specification for the new slab to be pre-treated?
It was something that came up, from what I understand, from the county inspections. A part of it was, a part of it wasn't. And this was the
okay
to do increased work on.
I didn't get that other part. return activated sludge meter vault. We're going to have a magnetic flow meter. It's going to be 14 inches in diameter, and it's going to weigh about 400 pounds. You can't just leave it out on the top of the ground or bury it. You got to get access to it, because you're going to have to, occasionally, you have to clean it out. So we had to have a vault, just like a water meter does. It was left out inadvertently, and it's got to be added back in. And we had some added revoid final clarifiers. They reduced that added rebar, and so we got a $6,394 credit. And relocation of existing IPS was $11,999. And then Pro-Ace credit was $9,765 a credit coming back. And manhole number 3, that's the one at the front of the plant. The pipe coming in the plant was sized up to a 30. It was a 30 coming in, and we had a 24 coming in. They had a 8-foot manhole. It was still too small at the angle those pipes were coming in. They were hitting each other. So they had to go to a 10-foot manhole to get those pipes together. But I tell you, that's one good thing. It's from Radio Lane coming on 85 all the way to the plant. It's 42. So it's coming down. If it gets to Radio Lane, it's coming to the plant. I remember so many times that place there overflowing, because it was jammed up. And we've got to have some headwork structural changes. The headworks equipment, I think, was a little bigger than the engineers originally calculated. And it is tough to get it in when you've got one headworks there and you're trying to fit another headworks in. You got your oxygen equipment that's right beside it. You can't get too close to that, don't you're going to have a problem. They don't know for sure how much it's going to cost. In talking to Jason, my indication from him was it wasn't going to be that expensive. But there are some other things on there. He's got headworks and O2 conflicts relocations. Well, I won't go into all the details of that, but this thing was designed with some of the equipment going on top of where the existing oxygen equipment was. I caught that and talked to the engineer, and they had to change some of this around. But I had priced it. It was going to cost us over $100,000 to move some of that oxygen equipment. And it was something we didn't want to get into, trying to move old equipment, 32 years old. It might come apart, and we have some real trouble. But a lot of these things, when you got a job this big, I think we've had some pretty economical changeovers. We haven't had any real big ones.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the credit is going to be. They got credit for valve stem guides. That will come up in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll have it by the next meeting, and we have a final change order, draw the line right there. We might have some other items left, but draw the line on what we're going to change and decide on that. And then this was one that the engineer had in to put in a section. They took out a section of our wash water system, 4-inch pipe, and they specified ductile line pipe. Well, the whole system had been in PVC. It didn't make any sense to put ductile line back in. So I asked them to take it out and put regular PVC. It's just as strong as the rest of it. It's been there 32 years. And so we'll get a credit back on that. An increased sewer to administration building. They're going to run a bigger line coming out, but there's a reason for that. The old administration building was tied to the distribution boxes at the primary clarifiers, which are no longer there. They're going to run a bigger pipe, I think it's 1-6. They're going to run the lines out from the old administration building and tie them in to the line that's coming from the new administration building and carry them to the headworks of the plant. They got to tie all that together to go back. Because if they cut it all off as it is, we wouldn't have any sewer discharge for the existing building. So that was the reason for that. And that's all that we've got at the moment. Things come up. You know, you never know when it'd be something unexpected. I don't know if any of you had any power blip on Saturday at 2 o'clock, but I had a gentleman down there unloading a crane. He had brought it in for the contractor, and he pulled under the power line. And he raised the boom on that thing and stuck it up in that 12,000-volt line. And it blew up some transformers across the road, and that's what messed up the city. Computer system had to be, I mean, it just had to be reset.
Well,
but I was
messed up
too.
Sure it is.
Yeah. We were fortunate. I may have some little items that he said they're going to cover them. You know, they know about it because I called them like 15 minutes after it happened. But I was a little bit disappointed in the response from the electrical company because I called and they put me on hold for 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Now, you know, what if my generator hadn't been running? Because it tripped the breaker on the generator. It jumped in the transfer box.
Mm-hmm.
And that worries me.
Yeah.
Because we would have had sewage running everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't get to people. Because they give you the canned music deal. And you stay on
there.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Tom?
That's all.
Mayor, as I say, we're working to get these numbers solidified. We did want to give you a heads up on what we've run across so far, and certainly try to keep them as minimal as possible. And we're trying not to make sure we get everything done, but wanted to give you some indication light of some of the things that we're facing during the construction. Hope to be able to join you for the time.
One trivial question,
yes,
Mayor. What happens to our Jockey's Ridge when you finish? Big tall mound.
Oh yeah, you know. I'm gonna tell you. If you look behind there, I think that's enough room to spread that dirt out. They just took the cheap way out. They put one excavator up in a crane, a clam bucket, and dumping it. And rather than moving around, they pile it up.
They pile it up.
My suggestion is going to be that we get them to push it back. Push it back on some of the land we already own there.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions, Counsel? Yeah?
I do.
Yes, Ms. Simmons?
Yes, ma'am.
I remember you saying early on that the truck driver was responsible for breaking something. Did I understand that?
The dumpster.
So we are responsible when he breaks it?
No, ma'am. I called him.
I want to make sure that I didn't.
He shakes his head over it, I'm sure. He fixes everything at no charge, and I don't know how it is.
Okay. No, they take care of that, bro.
Okay.
Any other questions, Counsel, before we talk to the PG?
No question, but I just want to know, is there any way that we could put on a work session to discuss the waiving the fee for the 501c3 people that building ramps, like we building hope, whatever, just so I won't forget to say it another time?
Waiving of the fee?
Yeah, waiving of the fee. The permit to build ramps. Like my church, they've been to me about it. Our Baptist men build a lot of ramps for handicapped people.
Oh.
It doesn't matter who they are.
So
if we know who they need a ramp, we build it. And it costs us, it's a big expense that we have to take out of our funds to pay for it. Plus, we got all the material we have to pay for to put these ramps up.
I think Mr. Griffin is working on that.
It's been called to his attention, so I hope we can do something to help that.
Is just the city that charges fees for that?
No. You have to get a zoning permit, you have to get a building permit.
Yeah, and you've been looking at most of the
building permit. Building permit.
And it costs us.
To build a ramp.
Do I hear a motion with your adjourn?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Rainey. Second by Mr. Dave. All in favor say aye. All opposed by the same. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate that very much. You did a great job tonight.